Please keep in mind, the views expressed on the Thin Men podcast reflect those of the hosts and the hosts alone. They are not necessarily representative of the Myrna Loy Center or its staff. Thank you.
Welcome to the Thin Men. I'm Biggs.
I'm a yawning Zach.
It's a late night tonight.
That's right. We're coming to you from the fireside.
So here's the deal. Sorry about missing the episode last week. Mea culpa.
Life happens.
Yeah, and we're doing a short one because I'm going on vacation. We didn't have the time to watch a bunch of movies. So
that's right.
We're just going to review one movie this week. But oh man, it's a movie.
It's a whopper.
That's right. So without further delay, let's start the episode.
I just landed in your town. Good morning, people. I just landed in your town. Trying to find someone to love, someone to help me settle down.
So today we're reviewing 2 Days, One Night.
Yes, a film by the Belgium's own Dardenne brothers, Luc and Jean-Pierre.
And has Academy Award nominee from this year,
Marion Cotillard. Yes.
Nice.
You nailed it.
I read it right before I walked up here.
And she is far and away the most famous person the Dardenne brothers have ever worked with.
So can you name some of the other ones?
That they've worked with?
Yeah.
Not off the top of my head. No, it's French. It's French and Belgium people I don't know.
Okay.
Basically, I know them from like the two Dardenne brothers, other Dardenne brothers films I've seen, and that's it.
Were they good?
Yeah, they always are. I mean, okay. It's sort of hard to judge. I always find I have a harder time judging performances in foreign films if I only see them one time. Like for this film, I saw it again to refresh myself, because you are dividing your attention in a way you aren't when you speak the language of a friend.
Right.
And so a lot of times you notice some things that are really great, but miss things that maybe you wouldn't be as into, or yeah, vice versa, where the things that are really jumping out to you are like a sort of wooden delivery. But when you happen to be reading, they're doing something very interesting, and it can be a bit of a dance. You have to reteach yourself how to watch movies when you're watching a lot of foreign films.
Yeah, and I gotta say, I was a little bit nervous like going in to review this because I was afraid that... So she was nominated for an Oscar, and I wanted to make sure I was doing justice like watching her performance. But I was like dropping down to read subtitles, and so I was worried I'd miss her reactions. But it turns out, not at all.
Well, and in this movie, this is one where by a certain point, I would only periodically read the subtitles to sort of keep a gist.
Because yeah, you could kind of tell how a lot of the conversations were going by how they looked.
Exactly, which is a strong point, I think.
Yeah.
Being able to tell the story visually that well says a lot about it. It's very easy to follow, even if you sort of semi-ignore
what's said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As long as you're getting the gist and some of like the important names you need to know.
There are a lot of repeats of scenarios, and I'm not mm-hmm. saying that like this movie was repetitive. I don't think it's
there's
that,
repeats
but...
and scenarios in the same way there are sort of maybe repeats isn't the right word for what I'm trying to describe, but like in 12 Angry Men, they sort of go over thematic ground multiple times from multiple yes. angles. And there's a lot of that in this. There's a lot of similarities between this and 12 Angry Men, really.
Yeah. Yeah. I can see that. So essentially what this movie is about is this woman,
Sandra is yes. her name. Sandra.
She wakes up and finds out that she lost her job. While she was taking a nap, they had a vote at work, and they basically the foreman told all their coworkers that either she was going to get laid off or they were going to lose their bonuses, which was €1,000.
Yes, and she's
so
been...
we're talking like probably like $1,300-$1,400 in American
like that,
money.
Yeah. And she the reason for this is she's battling with depression, so she takes a lot of sick leave to deal with her. Mental
like,
health issues.
Now, was that what it was? It seemed like they were kind of vague. I almost felt like it was an accident or something.
This movie is, I think it dives a ton into what it's like to have clinical depression.
Yeah.
I think it's very much about someone dealing with clinical depression and how it affects their life professionally.
I almost felt like it was that she got in an accident and then she was depressed from the aftermath of that, but
In any case, she is depressed.
Sure. Yes, she's definitely depressed. For sure. Yeah, I wasn't sure exactly what
the nature of it.
Yes, yeah. But so the whole crux of the movie is that she has to go and talk, and she really doesn't want to talk to her coworkers.
No, her husband has to like push her into it.
Yeah, so her husband is essentially pushing her into talking to all her coworkers and trying to convince them to give up their bonuses so that she can keep her job.
And she has a weekend to do this for all 16.
Right. And so she has to get a majority of them, 9 of them, to go along for that to win. And originally the ballot was like 14-2.
Mm-hmm.
And so you find out that the foreman was trying to convince everybody.
Yeah, is pressuring the coworkers.
Yeah, that they need to vote against her. And so she's going and talking to everybody one by one. And so this is what we're talking about, where these conversations, there's a lot of them. You can just tell from the beginning how they're going to go.
Yeah.
Because it's 16 awkward conversations.
Exactly. It's basically, imagine having a conversation you never want to have with somebody and you have to do it 16 times.
Yeah.
And your job is hanging in the balance.
Yeah. What I really liked about the writing of this is that this character was very empathetic. Like, it would have been easier to make her like a spitfire. Like,
yeah,
screw the world, I'm going to make it happen for me.
It would have been so easy for her to be like the classic strong working woman who won't fall for anything. But I find the woman who needs to find her strength and to find that fire in her belly, I find that much more dramatically interesting than if she's just like a spunky girl full of moxie from the get-go.
Yeah, I agree. And so it seems like a big thing in this is she really does understand why people won't vote for her. And I feel like out of the 16 people she talks to, there's really only one who's I cannot see their point of view.
Yeah.
Like, I understand the point of view, but there's just one guy who's like just a total
a-hole.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
The rest of them, even when they're not gonna vote her way, you understand it.
Yeah, I mean, they're
clearly not in
a
glamorous
job. They're not obstinate. Yeah, they're never like they're always some level of of sympathetic towards her, and that level varies. But it's you always get the sense that they are people put in this position, which I find really interesting. In that this movie is in a lot of ways as much about those people and how they make their decisions.
Oh, very much, especially without, when you get to the end.
Yes, and it's without they do it in an interesting way where it's so hard to have an interesting characters who are always reactive rather than proactive. Like the coworkers are almost never driving any change in the story. They're always reacting to the change that's coming to them, and yet they still end up being very interesting. Even when the characters themselves, because I mean, there's 16 of them. Some of them are going to be less multidimensional than others, but even the less multidimensional ones, the relationships between each other and each coworker with her are so well drawn that it pads out the world as a whole.
One interesting thing too is, so she doesn't want to be pressing that they lose their money, you know, because she understands like she's in a bad position. Everybody else is in a bad position by losing their bonuses. And towards the end, that really gets put to the test. We find out what she's really made of, if this is just her saying things or if this is her really feeling things. And I don't want to necessarily give away the end, but she's definitely tested at the end for her morals, not necessarily her husband's, because her husband is on the side of you need to do whatever it takes to help provide for the family and keep the food on the table.
Yeah.
And that's not necessarily where she's coming from. She definitely wants that, but her morality is a little more complicated.
Yes. It is very much a one woman show in that regard. Like her levels of nuance have levels of nuance.
Yeah.
And like when this debuted at Cannes, she got a 15-minute standing ovation for her performance.
She was spectacular.
She's incredible. Like the way she's able to portray these dark lows in depression, and then the way she portrays that like boxer picking himself up off the mat. she has that sort of that vibe to her in a lot of these scenes. The drive, the way she interacts with everyone, like it is an incredible performance.
And it would have been really easy to go hammy.
Oh, so easy. Too.
Like if this were Tyler Perry Presents 2 Days, One
she
Night.
She would have been like a revolutionary.
Like, yeah, lecturing like, everybody.
Exactly. Rounding up the troops, giving rousing speeches.
Yeah. Be a very inspiring female.
When this movie is inevitably remade, I can tell you what the ending will be.
Oh, not the ending that they
not
have
the
in
ending
this
that is presented in this. I get yeah. the Hollywood. This at no point becomes a Hollywood story. Like they always avoid the obvious pitfall that you could see happen if this was a Hollywood picture.
Yeah, and that makes me wonder: is it because it's not Hollywood, or is it because of like? Like, is this because it's more of an independent film, or is this because of the point of view, like, the
I think
it's
both of them together. Like, it's two very experienced filmmakers who know the language of Hollywood films, but are in no way a part of that world. Like, they have never been a part of that world. And so they can sort of see academically the pros and cons of the Hollywood style movies like this would be made, and they can... I'm sure they have knowledge of what's going on there, but this seems very much driven by their angle, their perspective, and their viewpoints. The Hollywood ending of this is, I guarantee you, it's the 16 coworkers plus her band up to kick out the boss. One of them gets the job so that nobody has to get fired,
that,
basically. That's the Hollywood ending.
That had totally occurred to me. If this were an American film, this is exactly what
it would be about retribution to the scumbag company.
Yep, they would have decided that they were all going to walk out.
We're not going to be pushed around by these people.
But I was sitting there watching. At no point did it seem like it was going to make that kind of turn.
Oh,
so
they never
then I started to wonder, are they all going to band together and then get fired?
Yeah. Is this going to be an I'm Spartacus happened. Situation? It's totally not an I'm Spartacus situation. No. Not at all an I'm Spartacus situation.
Yeah, I thought they all might band together and then they all get fired and a new company comes in and then it says and Finn.
Yeah, beautiful.
That's not what happens. No. We won't spoil the ending for you.
No. So I think besides the obvious standout of Marion Cotillard, the real strength of this movie is in its script. And not necessarily the dialogue, but in its structure and in its format and in the way it handles the relationships in the world.
Well, and it's hard to say how clever the dialogue is because it is being translated.
Exactly.
So it's not awkward when you read it.
The dialogue is expedient when you read it. It gets across the information you need.
It does. Yeah. It's they're in the situation. Go. There's not like levels that you're seeing from what they're saying and how they're acting. Like they're saying what they're feeling, but there is that extra level. The acting is really good in this. I mean, I really did believe every character.
And it reminded me, this is a kind of story I wish we saw more of. Like, I wish we had more of these. Individual with certain set of personality traits is forced into a situation where they have to have hard conversations with people they've known for years, but don't have hard conversations with. Like, there's so much dramatic depth to be mined out of that. Like, it's almost shocking we don't have more movies starting with premises like this one's.
And I did read the directors came up with the idea for this story because in Belgium, Italy, and the U.S., they read about people who are in this exact situation. Their crews were told, you can either vote to lay off this person or you can... You know, like
turn down your bonus.
Yeah, so,
like voluntarily
turn
that's, down your bonus.
That's awful.
It's
man.
Sickening.
It's so yeah, it really is awful. And if I can say this, having been a manager, because as we established several times in the Thin Men podcast, I've done a lot of stuff, and every movie I have to have a personal connection to, or I don't review it. So I have to have done something in my career that matches up with the movie. So I have been a manager. This is true. At a couple of places, and that just feels spineless to me. Like it's basically putting it on all the coworkers instead of the boss.
Yeah.
Like it really is, and like that's, saying you have to do this. I'm not going to man up and do
that's
it.
That's one of the brilliant things about this is that it shows A, how cowardly a lot of decisions made by corporations for capitalism are.
Yep. The and guy at the top is basically like, I can't do anything about it. Like your crew has to decide.
Exactly. It's
and very, then the worst is the manager just right above it. Who's like basically decided that it's going to go the way he wants to do it, but he's still going to make it so that he can basically pass it off on everybody else. to maybe to, they don't go into his reasoning, but I would guess to alleviate the guilt on some level.
I'm sure.
Because the dude is a slime ball, like in the little bit that you see. And through his actions, is clearly a slime ball. But I think for him to like live with himself at night, he had to give himself that separation.
Yeah. And I really thought it was interesting how it shows we experience it a lot. We being both you and I, but also we as Americans experience a lot sort of the two-faced nature of corporate America and how it views people as pawns. And this plays with that on a micro level where you see how these corporations are willing to pit individuals against each other for their own benefit. They are willing to take their staff and throw morale out the window, like destroy morale, knowing that it could hurt them in the long term, to turn them against each other for value in the short term.
Yeah, I mean, essentially, when you really break it down, I mean, they say it, so I think it's a solar panel company that she's working for. Like, I guess they build solar panels or install them. They don't, I don't think they're
really getting into it. It's almost irrelevant what they do.
Yeah, but essentially, the reason why this is all happening was she missed some time, I guess, dealing with their depression issues, and they found out that they could go one less person in their crew by giving everybody 3 hours of overtime.
Exactly, yeah.
And so they'd save a ton of money, and I guess that was a viable solution for them. Like, that's really what
It's a mathematical formula that drives these decisions.
Which is awful, man. I remember hearing about Andrew Carnegie.
Oh, yeah.
Who was, during his day, was the richest man of America, like pulled himself up from poverty and like became
Carnegie Hall is named after him.
Sesame Street, when you watch that, still being paid for by a grant from the Carnegie Foundation. Yeah. It didn't give like any of his money to his kids. Like,
that's
really
about as
guy.
Old money as you get in America is Carnegie.
Yeah. Yeah, but there's this story about Carnegie, and so the admiring story about him is that he went into this shipyard and he started looking at barrels, and he was like, how many drops of solder do you put on a barrel? And they did 30 drops. And so he was like, try 27.
Yeah.
And it didn't hold. He said, try 28. And it held. And so that one little decision back in those days saved him like $1 million.
Yeah.
Which is great. I'm sure anybody could get behind that. But then at the same time, he had people that were working for him that just like they went on strike, and he was like, screw that. Fine, you're not going on strike.
And that's
and
the
so
dark side.
They opened fire on everybody.
That's that dark side of that brilliance. If you're brilliant enough to realize you can save millions just by going from 30 drops to 28, you're also brilliant enough to realize how much you could save by manipulating your staff.
Right. And so there's that level of it as well, which is really what this movie, what drives this movie is heartless decision by the company.
It plays with a lot of very interesting thematic territory. Like, when I first read the premise, that's why I wanted to bring it to the Myrna so bad, because there's something about that premise that speaks to me, A, just as a human putting myself in the shoes of that protagonist and the things I can relate to about the story, but also in that there's, from a dramatic perspective and from a thematic perspective, there is so much to mine there in what is a relatively basic setup. Like, there are so many different angles they can take and did take.
Yeah.
The Dardenne brothers know what they're doing. They're pretty good at this.
Okay, so I want to get a little more lighthearted about this movie for a second.
Yes,
so
let's have some fun, because this is not a fun movie.
Yeah, my favorite thing about this movie, her husband, obsessed with pizza.
Loves it.
Maybe this is a Belgium thing.
A character choice.
So he has like a lunch, like with the kids that he's making them, and he pulls a big pizza out of the oven. I'm like, oh, okay. Like, it's like a medium sized pizza, right? And then he pulls another medium size. I'm like, well, maybe they're hungry.
Yeah, it's a party.
No, that's him and her pizza. Then he pulls out two personal pan pizzas for the kids, and I'm like, are you serious? Then this is the best part. Okay, he goes to cut it up. He goes, here, let me cut it up for you, for his boy. And he cuts it into like three slices. Yeah. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. Like, that is the most giant slice of pizza. He's like, my kid's not eating a whole.
He's the hero we need in Belgium. Yeah. He's the best. And now, also, he's got the Brad Pitt thing where he's eating basically every time he's on screen. Like, he is constantly eating in this movie.
And he's obsessed with her eating.
Yeah.
Actually, there's a bit of a theme there, because she's really depressed and doesn't want to eat. And then I think when you can tell she's doing okay is later on.
Yeah.
She like orders some food. And he's like thrilled that she's eating.
And then because at this point we're just trained that this is a dude who just loves eating, you have to try to figure out what percentage is he thrilled that she's doing better? Because there's at least some percentage of that. And what percentage is he just thrilled that more food's going to show up soon? Because that is at least a factor.
So here's the other thing that bounces off of the first thing I said there. So they go into like a bakery. Guess what he's ordering? Pizza. I love it, dude. And that's when I found out it was pizza for sure, because they look like weird pizzas at first.
Yeah, these are not American pizzas.
Yeah, and so I was like, maybe it's pizza, maybe it's something that just looks like pizza. But then, like, he orders pizza, and I'm like, yeah. You're like,
this is my dude.
This is how I live my single life. Maybe if my wife was clinically depressed, I could get away with eating pizza that much. A whole
pizza every night.
Love it, dude.
Oh man.
So it's a little different.
That's why he needed to get her back to work. Like, that's why he was so insistent she get back to work, because he needed his pizza budget.
Look, how are we going to pull off our pizza weeks if you don't have a job?
Listen,
we're going to have to go back to pizza pockets. We can't do that.
We've worked so hard. Do you want to throw that all away now?
Do you realize if we go back on the dole, we're going to have to get pizza bites? Is that really what you want for this family? Bagel with cheese and pepperoni? I don't think so. We need the whole thing.
I'm Belgian, damn it. I've earned better than this.
I had a dream that we would raise a family, be stable, and eat pizza every day. Air day.
And the third corner of that triangle is falling right now. We got to get that back up. Keep this in the air.
So is it safe to say we both like this movie?
Yeah, I would legitimately recommend this movie to people who don't like foreign films. This is one that I think a lot of people... There's a chance that some people find it slow or boring, but I think most people who are interested in film will find a whole lot to chew on in this movie.
I'll go further as a parent.
Because there's a lot we could talk about the ending that we haven't even dived into.
Yeah, and as a parent who, you know, sometimes I feel depressed. Sometimes I don't feel like getting out of bed in the middle of the day, but you have to do it for your kids, and then having to deal with your stuff at work, and you can't just up and quit. Like, you have to deal with that stuff. Like, I can relate to this.
Absolutely. Anyone who sees it will take something from it. Even if they don't enjoy the entire movie, there will be something about this movie that sticks with them. Everyone's favorite segment of the show, plug time. We're going to talk about the stuff that's coming up at the Myrna Loy Center. Mapped to the Stars, David Cronenberg's film starring Julianne Moore and a few other big names. It's a dark comedy satire about Hollywood featuring a washed-up child actress. Red Army, the documentary about the Soviet hockey teams. Also in April, we're going to open the Helena Theater Company's Run of Rent. Those dates are April 10th and 11th, 16th through 18th, and 23rd through 25th. They're $18 tickets. We just got done vandalizing the stage to get it all graffitied up for the set, so things are coming along soon, so keep your eye out for that.
10 years, 9 months, 8 days, 7 hours, 16 seconds. I don't know.
Before I go, I have a porch time story that I cannot talk about on this because there's some legal things, but we'll have some story time on the porch before I go.
All right, so thank you for joining us. In 2 weeks, we will have another full-length episode, I promise. We'll actually...
I'm not willing to promise anything right now.
So stay with us. No, that's American nothing. Life. Yeah. That's American life. Well, stay with
Mahalo.
Hello, people of Earth.
Go to stamps.com/WTF. It is a sunny day here in Southern California. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
All right, so stay listening. Thank you.
for coming out to meet me. I've just been so down lately.
No problem, man. What's the matter?
It's so hard to talk about. My batting average isn't quite what it used to be.
Your batting average?
My drive shaft doesn't have the kind of torque I'm looking for, if you catch my drift.
So you're feeling some depression from your erectile dysfunction?
Some? I'm only feeling depression from my erectile dysfunction.
You know, it's something that helps me is the Not Safe for Network.
The Not Safe for Network? What's that?
Not Safe for Network.
Side effects include blue birds, best available, you have a good life, Monta of the Skies, Fox Office Battle, Thin Man, and shooting the show. Do not take Not Safe for Network if you're on Cialis, Viagra, on Legend, or Comedy Central commercials at 4 a.m.
Not Safe for Network.
Wow, my whole world is new. Thanks, Not Safe for Network.
Not Safe for Network, putting the function back in erectile dysfunction.
Not Safe for Network.